Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be together with you tonight. My name is George Palumbo. If you don't know me, I have recently been appointed to the position that Mark Sampson has held at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary for many, many years. And I want you to know that tonight is my maiden voyage of giving a presentation for the seminary, and I am delighted that I am here together with you tonight to be able to do that. If it seems as though I am drawing on notes from about six different places, it's only because I am. These slides were given to me just a few days ago, and I'm not making excuses, because here's what I want to make clear before I get started, is that more than a desire to give information tonight, I want to be faithful. I want more than anything to be faithful, not only to the seminary, but to what the work of the seminary is doing to bring the kingdom of God to the world and to take it out into the world and to be a blessing to the church. So that is my number one aim, and my prayer is that that would be what is accomplished here this evening. So forgive any, if there's false information, maybe I'll look to Joel and Joel will say, I think I know your job better than you do at this point. A couple of things about myself. My background is in law enforcement. And just hearing, I don't know who brought the information about there is someone in their neighborhood was bringing darkness into the neighborhood. I grew up in Hopewell Township in Aliquippa, and there were some dark things that happened in Aliquippa this past weekend. There are also dark things that happen all around us. About 20 years ago, when I began my work in law enforcement, I'm a former deputy sheriff here in Beaver County for 30 years. I lived about four blocks from here. And what's strange and ironic, maybe, is that while I was living in the world and I was living an absolutely treacherous lifestyle, just four blocks from here, there was a faithful church right over here at College Hill Reformed Presbyterian Church who I wish somebody had knocked on my door 40 years ago and presented the gospel to me. So I don't say that as a charge to you, but as an encouragement that we are called to take light into our neighborhoods. I mean, that is a call that we have upon our lives as believers. And I know I don't have a whole lot of time, and I can let time get away from me very quickly. I was born and raised here in Hopewell Township, 30 years for the sheriff's office. I had the opportunity to go around and spend time in the public school system here in Beaver County. I worked in Riverside School District, Aliquippa Schools, Midland Schools, Beaver Falls Schools, Southside School District, and I was able to, what my heart and soul has always been about, has been to make every effort to bring the light of the gospel wherever I am able to do so. And I was able in part to do that in law enforcement because God blessed me and a ministry that I worked with that was able to take character education and bring it as close to the scriptures as possible, and it was validated by the Pennsylvania Middle School Association. I know that there is LifeWise now that's in some of our public schools that is bringing the true heart of the gospel into students in public schools. And I need to be careful with my time, but in light of everything that has been happening in our culture, with the shooting of the political assassination over the last couple of weeks, I know it's encouraging for us to hear that there are people and young people going to church in record numbers. But at the same time, we have got to be mindful that there are so many false churches that they are attending at this time. And one of the premier things I believe about the RP community, and I'm new to the RP community, I want you to know that it took me 40 years as a believer to make the circuitous route to the RP community. I joined an RP church 2 years ago, and this was after 30 years in law enforcement and attending an Anglican seminary and then pastoring a Baptist church, and then moving on to Orchard Hill Church out in Wexford for 5 years as an associate pastor, and then into addiction ministry for a couple of years. I wound up at River Valley Church a couple of years ago, and I remember, actually our first experience was at Grace, and my wife and I drove up to Grace and were sitting in the parking lot, and she said to me, she's in tears, "I need you to know I am here under absolute protest because we are going into a church that is filled with, I know, crazy people." I said, "Well, we're about to go and enter in." She opens the door to the church, and standing there welcoming people was a woman who mentored her in the faith 15 years prior. And we had the blessing of sitting at Grace for a couple of months. And then when I didn't stay up at Teen Challenge, I was working at Teen Challenge in Katanning, we made our way down to River Valley. And because we didn't move up to that area, we're going to move to Gibsonia, but we didn't. And we ended up over there. And here I am, Barry York, if you know Dr. York, and the entire board of RPTS came together for my last interview, which was about 7 interviews. I think they, one of their last questions to me was this: "What do you know about fundraising?" I didn't want to lie, so I said, "Nothing." I said, "I know nothing about fundraising, but I do know something. I do know something about a passion to take the gospel to the nations. And I will willingly and privilegedly ask for money in order to do that, because it takes funding to make ministry come to pass." Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself because my notes are just as out of order as they could be. But coming up in the next few weeks is the Strike the Match campaign, which I have a slide for if we ever get to it. And I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. But this is my maiden voyage, so please be gracious to me. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. You can go out of order if you so desire. My slideshow. They didn't hire me either for my slideshow presentation prowess, I will tell you that. So the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary has been around. This was something that excited me when I took this position. Maybe more than anything, this excited me. This seminary has been around for now 215 years. It is the fourth oldest seminary in the country. And that is impressive. But what is most impressive, it is like the last man standing of conservative seminaries in this country. It is the oldest conservative seminary in the country. While Princeton fell, everyone fell to liberalism, the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary has stayed the course. And there are a number of reasons for that. RPTS is a denomination overseen seminary, which protects the seminary. I don't know if you know this. I just learned this past week. Again, I'm 3 months into my new position, and I am learning on the fly. But I didn't know that the seminary, the board, was made up of 2 elders from each presbytery. And they're elected. And your pastor is one of them. I'm sure you know that. One of the other things that delights me about RPTS is this: I know the quality and the faithfulness of the men who are coming out of RPTS. And if you know your pastor well, you know that that is true about him. I had an opportunity to sit down with George and meet him for the first time a couple of weeks ago. And what just a true delight to spend time with a man who I know loves to shepherd this flock with zeal and with passion. So George is elected by synod. And it's very rare for a seminary to be denomination controlled. There are only a couple of them in the country. Erskine College and Erskine Seminary are in that same category. And believe it or not, they at one time let go of their denomination, holding on to the seminary. And guess what happened to the seminary during that time? Of course, liberalism crept in because, as J. Gresham Machen said almost 200 years ago, 125 years ago, there are certain things worth fighting for in the Christian faith, and doctrine is one of them. Okay, we'll fight and split over so many things, but often we will not hold fast enough to our doctrine. But it is absolutely central that we be theologically grounded in our seminaries. RPTS is training pastors and church workers in God's word to deal with life's problems. It's not just a seminary where men are being trained to think intellectually. I graduated from one of those seminaries. I graduated from a seminary where the professor was loath to tell you what they believed. I was not popular in my seminary. I really did a lot of this in seminary. And I thought to some degree, maybe this is what seminary is like. I rue that I did not explore RPTS further when I entered into seminary almost 15 years ago. But I will say this, it has given me such a deep appreciation for RPTS after having attended one seminary and seen the passion and the zeal and the heart of the men who are professors at RPTS today. So let me see if I can move on here a little bit. Oops. So the seminary is in the city of Pittsburgh, which is, everybody knows this is the Three Rivers. Mark told me to tell you this. I'm sure you probably even heard this before. But did you know there are more than three rivers at the confluence there? Who did not know that? The Wisconsin glacial flow runs underneath of the Three Rivers, and it is actually the river that feeds the fountain downtown. And here's something neat about that. I want to read this to you because I think this is super interesting. I think it's important for us to know this. During the planning and of the building of the fountain, landscape architecture, let me get to his name here, Ralph Griswold. Here's what he said at that time. He said this: "Certainly, Pittsburgh and the Commonwealth have given Caesar more than his share of the city's physical planning. And now, God is going to be entitled to at least 18 acres of Point State Park dedicated to his rivers, his forests, and his horizons." And that piece of property was dedicated to the Lord. That is an interesting piece of information about the city of Pittsburgh, which I thought I would share with you this evening. Isn't that exciting? So the RPTS's commitment is to the church and its students. Okay, and the way that this comes to pass is through theological grounding. I made comment earlier about, I don't know if any of you get Ligonier's emails. Did you see the state of theology that came out this past week from Ligonier? It's sobering. It is sobering. It ought to wake us up to know what evangelicals are believing. That's why I made mention of, you know, people are going in record numbers to churches, but what kind of churches are they going to? What kind of shepherd are they hearing from? And I use the term shepherd loosely. The professors at RPTS are not only intellectually grounded, theologically grounded, spiritually grounded. These are men of high character. They have pastored churches. There is something to be said about a professor who has gone out into the field and shepherded the sheep and then walks into the classroom and gives a lecture to his students. I am sorry to tell you that a number of the professors that I had did not have that experience, and it was absolutely plain in the classroom that they didn't have that experience. They're dedicated to devotional piety. Again, they were pastors. They hold chapel services. They counsel students on a regular basis. And there is a stress on personal holiness. Your pastor took an exam on personal holiness before he was ordained as a minister in the RP community. Practical training: students are not only taught but given experiences to preach. I didn't know this. The average seminarian at RPTS preaches over between 7 and 10 times during their course in seminary. I, again, am ashamed to tell you, I preached once in my time in seminary because it was not stressed. Homiletics was not stressed enough. in the seminary. And I'm not here just to compare two seminaries. My heart is to display to you what the heart of RPTS is all about. Our goal is that students will leave RPTS knowing, loving, and willing to sacrifice for Christ more than when they arrived. This looks like soup to me. Okay, I just want you to know that. This is a slide that was given to me, and I don't know what to make of it. But there's a lot on here that RPTS is delivering on a regular basis. And I mean, just a couple of things, like I watched some of the applied theology take place this past summer when maybe some of your own teenagers went to TFY. Wow. Wow. What a beautiful display of sending your young ones, your students, to be introduced to seminary life at a profound level. Yeah, Dr. Whitla and June just put together such a beautiful program there, and it has been persisting for years. There's emerging global theological training overseas. There are programs that are happening that in our 25 minutes, I don't have time to really dig into, but there's what's called the Bridge to Pittsburgh that's going on that is being piloted right now, where students are coming in and staying with families. It's a really neat program that the seminary is beginning to employ. I love, too, the fact that we have sister seminaries. Was anyone out at the Westminster Conference over the weekend? If you saw Dr. Masters from Greenville come in, he's a friend. He's a friend of the seminary. Dr. Tipton came in over the summer and did a course on in the D-Min program. These are not RP fellows, but they are fellows who come in who, Matt Everhard, if you're familiar with Dr. Everhard, never, ever does he miss an opportunity to plug RPTS. Do you know why? He loves what is happening under the roof at RPTS, and he gladly trumpets it. Here's some of the professors there. If you know Dr. York and Dr. Gamble, Dr. Williams, Dr. Whitla, and Dr. Stuyvesant, these are some fine men. I had an opportunity since coming on board to have dinner with several of them, and geez, what just delightful people, so hospitable, so kind, so gracious, so gentle, everything you would want in a pastor, and even more of what you would want to see in a professor. There's your handsome pastor there. I was told to tell a story about him, but I was actually told to tell two stories about him. Did I bring my water up here? Yes. One of them is rather comical, but he's not here, and I don't really want to defile the poor guy while he's not here. Not that it's a defiling story by any stretch of the imagination, but his kids are little here. Yeah, I'm not about to go into what the story that Mark proposed that I tell here, but I will say this. It probably is a good thing because it involves you. So anyways, if you know anything about your pastor, you know this. This is something else I get so excited about hearing about the tenor of the way ministry happens at RPTS. So one of the stories about your pastor is that when he went out to Indiana to do his internship, on his way out there, maybe you know this story, maybe you don't. On his way out there, it was learned that the minister died where he was going to do his internship. And instead of the denomination saying, hey, you know what would have been easy is to say, hey, let's just cancel this internship. They sent George out there anyway. He had preached one sermon in his entire life. And he went out to do his internship. And while he was out there, one of his professors who was on sabbatical, who was resting from ministry, taking time off from ministry, took every single sermon that George was going to deliver and spent time with him while he was on sabbatical for the entire time he did his internship. That is a beautiful picture of a shepherd. See, there's no real time off for a shepherd. There's rest for a shepherd, and a shepherd ought to rest. But a true shepherd will continue to take the sheep and point them to the great shepherd. This is one of the heart and souls of what happens at RPTS as well. I don't know what this whole thing is about the future birthplace of Charles Kirk is. Is that where he was supposed to have been from, Riverside, Iowa? I've never been there. Some of our awesome staff, these are just awesome, awesome people. Jennifer was just hired in the last few weeks full-time basis as a cataloging and circulating librarian. Josh was just moved into this new position. If you know any of these people, you know they're just dynamite people. Josh's parents are members here. Do you know Josh? Yeah, Josh is just a sweet guy. So Josh does not love to be in the spotlight. And if he heard me talking about him, he would just be shrinking underneath of a pew back there. But this past weekend at the Westminster Conference, he joyfully worked behind the scenes all weekend because he cares and he loves for the people of God.
No, that's me. That's that goofy guy there. We talked about the Westminster Conference. Upcoming weekend class held by Dr. Tipton. Again, just a superior teacher of God's Word, very passionate and very zealous. I had an opportunity to sit in one of his DMIN classes this past summer, and what an ardent preacher of God's Word. Just a delight to listen to. If you ever get a chance, check out one of his lectures. There are all kinds of applied theology programs that are happening at RPTS right now. So I'm going to pull out my notes here because I don't know them all off by heart yet. I thought I had these set up correctly, but I don't. Well, they exist. I'll tell you that right now. I do know one of them is the program for training elders. There's an applied theology program for training elders and for church folks who are interested in church ministry. You would think I could find these pretty easy. Yes, campus ministries package. There is a ruling elder program, a discipleship essentials program, and an introduction to the RPCNA, which are all available by auditing. So you can check out some of the very same lectures that your pastor got in seminary. You can audit anytime you want. You can listen to those lectures anytime, anywhere you want. I have been listening to some of the lectures on RP history by Dr. Whitla, and I shared at the conference yesterday that I went to preach somewhere about a month ago, and I was listening to one of his lectures on the way, and I'm like consciously trying to tell myself not to speak with any Scottish accent when I go to preach that morning, because hearing his voice over and over, I've been listening to his classes over and over again. But what a delightful man. I know his daughter is here right now, and I'm not flattering him because you're sitting there. I am telling you the truth about a very godly man with a real heart for training shepherds. I really appreciate his heart. There's a Chinese language program that's happening right now at RPTS, which, in brief, the way that this is happening, and this is one of the reasons it is important for the seminary to raise funds. This is a tedious project that is happening here. So there are elders overseas in churches who have neither the resources nor the safe passage to come to the States in order to get seminary training. We have students who are, we're recording seminary lectures, and we have Chinese students who are interpreting those using AI and then not only bringing them into the language, but into the native dialect in the place in which these classes are going into. This is very tedious work. It is super time consuming, but it is super profitable, because that is a dark place over there. It's a place where the gospel is not highly welcomed, and it happens very, very conspicuously. I talked a little bit about the Bridge to Pittsburgh. Mary and Wayne Spear, I don't know if you know this, on October 17th, The Welcome Center at the seminary is going to be dedicated to Wayne and Mary Spear. I don't have time to go into their background, but they are godly people who have served the denomination for many, many years. So that's going to happen on October 17th. I believe the public is welcome to that. This is the old, we're not going to go into that. I think this is the old north side where the seminary was before the seminary moved over to Rutherford Hall in 1924. So the seminary has been where it's at now for the last 101 years. There's just some pictures here. I don't know if you've been to the seminary. This is how the, so during the last campaign, the major campaign, some of the money that was raised has gone to bettering some of the places. This is the new kitchen, if you haven't seen it there. Incidentally, if anybody comes to the seminary, I would be delighted to give you a tour. Please come. I'll take you out to lunch. I'll give you a tour. It'd be a delight to have you there. And plus, every time I give a tour of the seminary, I get 100 points. I'm just kidding. I don't get any points. But what I do get is experience in giving tours of the seminary, and it gives me a deeper understanding of what is happening there. The library, how some of the renovations look. Now, the place is just beautiful. So this is the Strike the Match campaign that, of course, I didn't come here to not ask or consider asking you to participate in what the seminary is doing. And I'll close with this. The seminary, every year, this is the biggest fundraiser that the seminary puts on annually. And half, at least half of the seminary's income comes from this particular fundraising endeavor. Barry stood up in front of the Westminster Conference yesterday and said, I boldly am looking for participation, not so much in dollars, but for participants to be elevated, for participation to be elevated. He is hoping for 400 donors this year during this campaign. I am boldly thinking that could be doubled. That could be doubled, and here's why. It doesn't take a lot of money to become a participant. Look, we have outlined very briefly about the state of the world and the state of theology in our world. And one of the things when we give of our resources that we do is, first of all, we're reflecting the glory of God. God is a giving God. And when we give, we are simply reflecting what He does. He loved the world and He gave. Okay, it's an act of worship to give. And we humbly just ask that after you have given faithfully to your church and faithfully to your family, that you would consider a gift to RPTS during Strike the Match. And when I say I believe that the number could be doubled or even tripled, if students would take $5, there are students here perhaps right now, who their heart is being tugged not just to give, but maybe for ministry, who will wind up at RPTS. Something to explore, something to talk to your pastor about or your elders about. This is a faithful denominational institution, as evidenced by it being what is I call the last man standing. I think that is so exciting. It's heartbreaking, but at once it is exciting because we get to be part of that as God's people, as we advance the kingdom of Christ, as we invest in the shepherds who are charged with leading our shepherds. We happen to know a few shepherds, and they are willing and able to invest in the lives of seminarians to keep tuition low. One of the things that Dr. York loves to talk about is sending seminarians out debt-free. To send a seminarian out of seminary debt-free so that they are freed up to minister to their flock. What a beautiful picture that is. So I am asking that you consider in the coming weeks to check out the website. It's easy. It's an easy little flick over there to go and check that out. That's all I have. But please let me pray before we head out. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this absolute privilege to stand before your people. Lord, I pray that as we part from this place, we are reminded of many things, but the one thing that we are absolutely mandated to do is to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, I pray that your people here in this assembly are faithful in that. You remind them that you have not given them a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and you have equipped them in every way to do good work. Lord, I pray for this congregation that you will minister to them and continue to move in them to remain faithful in their service to the kingdom, because we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.